After which we hope to respond with the singing of the last two stanzas of Psalm 90, stanza 7 and 8. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a moment we have reached the finish line of the year of our Lord and Savior 2020. A definite period of history. Another time period of January the 1st to December the 31st has come to an end, has been fulfilled. That's quite something. Another historical period has gone never to return. Surely, beloved, that calls for reflection, for self-examination. For what did we do in this period? On what did we spend our time in 2020? Here we thought that we were Lord and Master of our time, thought that we could spend it exactly the way we saw fit, to do this or to do that. But when we reflect on this, as children of God, do so as Christians, we know that we will have to give account of it all to the King of the ages, the Lord of history, to the creator of all those periods, including that period which covers the year 2020. For don't we know from the mouth of our Savior himself that the times and dates are in the hand of our Heavenly Father? And now we have the author of Ecclesiastes, have the preacher in our text to confront us with the purpose and profit of all those times and dates. In the name of the Lord of heaven and earth, he takes the floor, climbs the pulpit, to make it clear that men in the changing of the years of those historical periods is only able to live if he continuously lives of every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord our God. And that's how we, at this transition from the old to the new year, set ourselves to listen to the proclamation of this preacher of God, of how to conduct ourselves in the changing of the years. By taking note of the fact, first of all, that the times are in God's hand. Secondly, that the times are used, to be used, in the service of God. And lastly, that the times are to be enjoyed as special gifts of God. So first of all, to understand that the times are in God's hand. Now, beloved, what motivates the preacher to speak about the circumstances and the events of the times and periods in the way he does in our chapter? Well, that's in view of the theme of this book. Meaningless. Meaningless. He repeats it twice in a row. Or the old translation, well-known, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Yeah, that's what he wrote in chapter 1, verse 2. And in chapter 1, verse 3, he asks, what does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Pretty well the same question as we find in our chapter, verse 9. What does the worker gain from all his toil? From all the work he does. Indeed, what does man end up with after all his work? What does he gain in view of that transitoriness of life? In view of that never-ending coming or going? The 1 year goes, the other comes. The generation leaves, the other arrives. Everything and everyone has so its hour, its predetermined time. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. A person comes, and a person goes. There is no stopping to it. And that's how the preacher uses examples from everyday life to illustrate this transitoriness, this changing, the fleetiness of all that man encounters here on earth in a few days allotted to him under the sun. Indeed, the preacher here could have easily multiplied his illustrations, his examples, But he leaves it at these seven verses, no doubt showing with this number that he believes that all these human events take place according to God's sovereign decree, according to his good pleasure. And that's how the preacher shows that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun, under heaven. And that's how he begins with that first, there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. He only points to the beginning and end of this life. But in view of his theme, he does so to show that there is indeed that life is present, but how soon is it already gone again? And therefore, what purpose, what profit, what gain is there to have this life squeezed in between those two poles, birth and death? What is the meaning of that short time frame between those two? Doesn't it all seem meaningless? And that same transience you also find with the whole of human life. Everything has so its own time period, and it is also predetermined. That's how there is also a time to plant and a time to uproot. Planting and seeding is what man does to gain a harvest. But every harvest too is bound to have its own particular time frame. Every crop has its own time of picking. Between planting and harvesting, there is a specific time. That's really a wondrous time, actually. A wondrous thing. Yeah, when spring is late, and we wonder what will become of the harvest, we see how nature has a way of catching up, and that the harvest is there at the usual time. And so we ask, who determines that all things come to pass this way? There's a time to kill and a time to heal. Indeed, there can be times that there's a call to kill, to put to death, for example, in times of war. But a man is hardly wounded or everything is done to save his life. How senseless is it all? What does war really gain? What is the use in the face of that inevitable death to go all out to restore a man's life and health, which also has again its own time frame? There's also a time to tear and a time to build up. There comes an end to the age of a house, for everything out of the dust comes to an end. Indeed, people build, but not as an end in itself, but for a specific purpose. And such building has again its own time frame. There is a deadline to be met. There's also a time to weep and a time to laugh, time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to love and a time to hate. For all of it, man needs time, which time can seem endless to some, or to others passes by like a wink of the eye. Even though true love needs time to grow, to blossom, yet all too easily can change into hate. Now there is a time to celebrate, and there is a time to mourn, to grieve, and neither one can be prolonged. Also grief has to come to an end, for there is more to do in this life. To everything, though, comes an end. After all, there are boundaries, there are limits, limitations. And so there is a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. And without a doubt, the preacher was thinking here of the Palestinian fields, where such activity is the order of the day. You either take those stones out of the field to save your farm implements, or you can look for them in order to build a wall around your fields. It's also a time to search and a time to give up. You put every effort in searching someone or something, but then it comes a time to face the truth of not finding what is being terribly missed. For time moves on. Life has to move on. And then there is a time to tear and a time to mend, to sow. There is a time to tear your clothes in grief and a time to sew it all together again. Or you can also say there is a time your clothes wear out and a time to mend them or to replace them. And that's how in time there comes an end to all material things with which we surround ourselves. And then there is a time to be silent, and there's a time to speak. We hope to gain something with either one. We have to know when and how to speak. It's actually a wondrous thing to know both, to know that either it is the time or it is not the time, or it is not the right time. Oftentimes a person first has to learn to listen before he speaks, to make sure that what he says is edifying, is upbuilding. And that's how there is also a time for everything. And that's how every one of us can add their own thing to this long list of this creature of God. For our human life contains hundreds and one facts, facets, and is tremendously varied. And yet every part of it is subject to time, to the succession of moments, whether it concerns one's work at home, at school, church, the consistory, or at a home family visits. There is an end to it all, and there has to be an end to it all. But now there is that mystery above and beyond man. The mystery that this time element is not a matter of man's, of our will and way. The mysterious period, part of it all is that everything is so determined, designed, designated, defined, so decreed. And yet there are all those unexpected factors in every event, as we certainly know in 2020 because of that Chinese virus. Seemingly things are always the same, and yet they also prove to vary. Different things we are confronted with. You can see that also in the examples that the preacher gives here. The time of healing is not the same for everyone. The same applies to the time to build, and the same counts for the one who's waiting a child. There are unknown factors to them all. And the question is, from where all those unknown factors? How do they come to pass? What's behind them? Or, as you know, you would say, the question should be, who is behind them? This preacher proves himself to be a wise man of God. After all, he was inspired by God, the Holy Spirit. And therefore, he sees the Lord in it all. It is He who has made everything purposeful in its time. And that's the whole of life turns around and ought to turn around as to what God has done from beginning to end. Man has nothing in his own power. Everything he is and has, it is the Lord's. Life, beloved, is a gift from the Lord. That's why we're here. And therefore, that life of ours must be subject to His sovereign will, must be in keeping with His divine revelation, must be in keeping with the Bible, from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. For it is the Lord who determines what will happen, and so it happens. And that's how everything has its own time. And to him who believes, acknowledges this, life can then still be seen as one harmonious whole. And that's how we also receive light, insight in the work that we do, called to do, and receive an answer to the question raised in verse 9. What does a worker gain from all his toil, from all his work? Now, beloved, we are at the end of the year 2020. Also, this period has been predetermined by the Lord God. And so we ask, what is the result of this year? Well, beloved, we know it was filled with many cares and concerns, with many challenges and obstacles. And we realize that our own work amidst all of it was peace work. In many ways, work done by halves. Work which leaves so much to be desired. And we ask, what has and what will it gain us? But beloved, we confess also today that even though we are unable to fathom, unable to understand the Lord our God, what He has done from beginning to end during this year, we nevertheless cannot but believe and conclude that God has done everything right and thus has made all things come to pass again the way it has. Everything that came to pass at the right time. Everything that took place the way it was to be. God's work for this year is finished perfectly. It's completely done with respect to 2020, and nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away. And that's why we confess, my times, O Lord, are in your hand. We confess that also with the psalmist of Psalm 31. And that's how this whole year, with 1,001 events, that whole life with 1,001 facets, has gone by and has passed away. And so we believe and confess it has gone exactly the way it should. Everything that came to pass in accordance with God's sovereign counsel and will. And so we conclude and confess, it was indeed your time, O Lord God, O Lord of the times, O King of the ages. Now that's the first, but the preacher has still more to say to us. The mystery of God's sovereign presence in all the times and in all the things we encounter has to be received by faith. The faith that the whole wide world is in His hands. And with that in mind, the preacher and we with him pursue this question. What do we in our work gain? Well, the preacher makes it clear that he has learned to understand this, that indeed he has been able to search out that all-important matter. The times he knows, all those succession of moments and periods have been given for man to work in, have been given him to serve his God and Maker, his Lord and Savior. And therefore the time that man has to spend his life under the sun will always remain subject to that overall mandate that God has given men. Indeed, this mandate constitutes a tall order, a difficult assignment, at times a real burden. It will remain a matter of toiling. It's far from easy, as you know. And no wonder in view of what the preacher has concluded in verse 11, God, however, has set eternity into the hearts of His men. Even though we cannot fathom, cannot understand what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now, first of all, that word eternity is not meant the time, the life hereafter, but the God-given ability for man to search out the times, the past and the present and the future. The ability for us to see the connotations and the connections between the events that have taken place, that are and will take place. God has given us men the ability to sense, to understand the purpose of history, its overall purpose, be it only the sum of it. For let us not imagine that our ability to rise above and to reflect on times and circumstances, it will never be more than piecework, guesswork, We should not ever think that we will be able to check out or figure out the Lord God Almighty, the King of the ages. Neither the beginning nor the end of God's eternal counsel and will has been revealed. Still in faith, we are able to conclude that He makes everything succeed in its times. With our God, there is always a finished product, even though we do not see and understand the half of it. But then again, God is infinite, eternal, while man is finite and temporal, here today and gone tomorrow. We are subject to time. God is above time and does a sovereign control of all times and circumstances. We are confined to time, thus limited. We are mere men. And yet, beloved, we also know ourselves that we have been created by God. And by God, the Holy Spirit recreated through faith in Christ, and all in order to be God's image. And as His image, as the image of Christ, to keep pursuing those connotations, those connections between the times and all created things. See the purpose of it. That's our mandate. To search out the works of the Lord our God. It's true, our knowledge will always be fragmentary, wanting. At this time, in this era, in this dispensation, we will always know things only in part. But in faith, we still keep on pursuing our service to God. And in the process, keep pursuing it with that goal of perfection in mind. The goal which will always have call for this confession. It is God who has made everything purposeful in its time and at the right time. With Him, as I said, it's always a finished product. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. And therefore, to Him, the King of the ages, the King of all men's times and circumstances, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And that's our service, man's service, his toil and labor, his constant research of the mighty deeds of God constitutes his gain, make up his profit. Indeed, natural man thinks in terms of what's past is past. But that's not so. The result of man's toil, of his work, will not disappear. What has come into the currents of time will not wash away. The Lord will fish out, draw from it, the abiding substance of man's service. And that's how every spiritual man, woman may know my toil and labor in the Lord, in whatever form, and in whatever shape, whether healthy or handicapped, whether old or young, whether strong or weak, will never, ever be in vain. The result of all our words and works in the service of the King of the ages, in the service of the King of kings and Lord of lords, our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, won't get lost, not in all eternity. And beloved, when we have reached this point, we can also take to heart the rest of what our preacher, the preacher of God, had to say to us, of what he was able to conclude. I know, he says, there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil, for this is the gift of God. We're told to pursue happiness as a gift of God in a time allotted to us, to enjoy with thanksgiving the many blessings that have come our way, the many good gifts that God sends our way, thanks to His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. They also fire the means of our service in our daily toil and labor. Of course, we understand that the spiritual counsel of the preacher has nothing to do with the banner with which the unbelievers live. Eat, drink, and be merry. For what else is there in life? Life is short, and you might as well make the most of it, they say. No, beloved, here in our text, the preacher stresses that our time is a gift of God. including the good times, times of joy, true joy, in which one expresses appreciation and thankfulness for what the Lord has provided us as children from day to day. Despite the many hard and grievous aspects in our daily toil and labor in our life overall, especially also in this year because of that Chinese virus, COVID-19 as it is called, and also despite our many sins and shortcomings, we should never stop count our blessings. For all these things that took place in our life, also the grievous things, is to bring us closer to our God, to our Savior. And yet also to know the joy of faith, that peace of mind that surpasses all understanding, to enjoy the abundance of His goodness in our life, as it comes also our way in the many good gifts of food and drink, and the many other good things that have come our way. For us Christians, for those who are in Christ, for those who have life in Christ, there is always room for happiness and joy. Always room for praise and thanksgiving to God. For every time He gives what we really need in His chosen way, at His chosen times, He gives us what we need in order that we would revere Him. Yes, love Him with heart, soul and mind. And now again with the understanding that everything God does will endure forever. That nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. Thus, how safe and secure are we in His fatherly hand in the time allotted to us and our children? Beloved, that faith, that understanding should give us rest for our soul, should give us peace of mind, should enable us to live before the face of God, should enable us to enjoy His good gifts under His eternal blessing in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. For we know again that we can leave all our times in His fatherly hand. Yes, indeed, we will leave it to Him, the King of the ages. We will leave it to Him who has created all things and also by His providence governs all things. And therefore in His hand are the changing of the years, the coming and going of the historical periods. We will leave also to Him our coming and our going in the period of January the 1st to December the 31st in the year of our Lord 2021. Throughout the new year, we will continue to focus on Him as we pursue our service of Him in all our toil and labor, and all the times and circumstances which He will bring upon us. We'll constantly look to Him to bless us so that we keep going forward to meet our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who together with the Father and the Son, the one only through God, who lives and reigns forever. And therefore, beloved, to Him be the honor and the glory and the power forever and ever.